This is David Duke, broadcasting to the world on Web Radio. And this is David Duke, and this is the David Duke Internet Web Radio broadcast, broadcasting to the entire world with news and information of importance to Europeans and people of European descent, no matter where they may live upon the earth. And of course, this broadcast is important to all people, all heritages, all nationalities on the planet. Every people must have the right to preserve their own heritage, their own freedom, their own way of life, their own traditions, their own values. I don't believe in supremacism. I don't believe in any nation controlling any other nation. I don't believe in America having 67 bases around the world. I believe every people has a right to control its own destiny. And I believe in peace, and I think we're moving toward perpetual war. And I think it's a war driven in many ways by the Zionist power that has so much influence in our media and government. And today, we're moving toward another catastrophic war, a war that the Jewish extremists are trying to create against the nation of Iran. But it will be a war that will be terribly catastrophic, not just for the Iranian people, but also for the American people and all the people of the world. I believe that extremist Jews seek a new Purim massacre in Iran. The 2,500-year-old Jewish celebration of Purim approaches on the 3rd of March. Purim is the Jewish celebration of the murder of the Persian Prime Minister Haman for supposedly plotting a conspiracy against the Jews. Haman was hung along with all of his 10 sons, and 75,000 hapless Persians were slaughtered. Ironically, the time of Purim in 2003 was chosen for the launch of the Iraq War, a war orchestrated by Jewish extremists and Israeli partisans in the American government and media, against a nation that posed no real threat to the United States. Iraq was, however, Israel's strategic enemy, and Saddam was painted across the Jewish world community as a new Haman. The Iraq War has been a complete catastrophe for America. We've had over 30,000 Americans wounded or maimed. We've had over 3,000 killed. And there's been a huge cost that will inevitably amount to trillions of American dollars. America was told that this war was to end the terrorist threat against America. But all that this Jewish extremist manipulated war has done is to create a world of hatred against America and create millions of potential terrorists who want to do us harm. In short, this was a war against Iraq, but also one against America, for it harmed not only the 500,000 Iraqis killed by the war, but harmed every true American interest as well. Now again, at the time of Purim, America's arsenal is again pointed toward an Israeli enemy, Iran. More of our sons and daughters make ready to be sacrificed on the altar of Israel's paranoia. If this war commences, it could well be the last act of the American Republic turned empire. It will also throw the entire world in chaos and unleash hatred and terrorism against Americans at home and abroad for years to come. Iran is the ancient nation of Persia, and Iran's president is being made into a new Haman. Jewish power brokers around the world are initiating an orgy of hate and lies against him and against Iran and are calling for the destruction of this new Haman, along with tens of thousands of Iranians in a new Purim massacre. A search on the internet of Iran and Purim will reveal thousands of comparisons made by Jews of Iran and the Purim celebrations. Thousands of comparisons are made between President Ahmadinejad and the famous Persian Prime Minister Haman. For instance, Rabbi Michael Bernstein wrote in a recent op-ed piece for the Jewish Telegraph Agency titled "Purim's Revelry Conceals Message About Absurdity of Jews' Salvation." His article suggests that President Ahmadinejad of Iran is a new Haman who threatens the Jews and America with genocide. He begins the article by condemning the Iranian president for re-envisioning the history of the Holocaust. He attacks me as a white supremacist, unquote, and says I called Wolfblitzer a tool of the Zionist conspiracy, unquote. And he attacks a rabbi who attended the conference in Tehran as a, quote, fervently Orthodox rabbi who hugged his Iranian host and decried the Zionists' manipulation of Jewish suffering. At least Bernstein got it partially right about the rabbi's accurate remarks about the Zionist manipulation of Jewish suffering. But about me, he got it completely wrong. Bernstein and almost anyone else can say anything they want to about me without contradiction, in the press that is. He calls me a white supremacist, which I am not. In actual fact, I am the opposite of a supremacist. I don't seek for my people to be supreme over any other. I believe that every people, including my own, should be free and independent and have the right to preserve its heritage and its freedom. I repeat this every day of my life, and you can read it and you can hear it again and again on my internet site, davidduke.com. Extremist Jews, such as Bernstein, are the real supremacists who support apartheid Israel and believe that the chosen have some divine right to take other people's lands, to bomb and murder and commit terror at will, to develop and use chemical, nuclear, and biological weapons while forbidding even rudimentary self-defense for any other people who might not endorse Jewish and Israeli supremacy over them. You see, they don't believe that standards of humanity and decency that apply to everyone else should also apply to them. For the record, extremist Jews like Bernstein lie as naturally as they breathe. They are exactly as Jesus Christ pegged them 2,000 years ago when he called them the fathers of the lie. Bernstein wrote that I called Blitzer a, quote, tool of the Zionist conspiracy, unquote. Anyone who knows anything about me knows that I never use the buzzword conspiracy. Also, for the record, I did not call Wolf Blitzer a tool of anything. I said flat out that he is a Jewish extremist agent for Israel. Now, here are excerpts from the CNN transcript. Quote, Duke, I think you're biased because you're a former lobbyist for AIPAC. You're a Jewish extremist, supporter of Israel. So you want to bias anyone who criticizes Zionism. You're not an honest broker on television. You're an Israeli agent. Blitzer then names the president, vice president, and other Gentiles in the American government and then asks me, are these people simply tools of the Zionist conspiracy? To which I answer, quote, they're not tools of a conspiracy, but they're definitely tools of the Zionist media and political power. Even the Washington Post said that 60% of the contributions for the Republican Party come from Jewish sources. Plus, if any politician in America dares to criticize Israel, millions will go to his opponents and he'll be attacked in the media where Zionists have incredible power, unquote. So I've caught Bernstein in two bald-faced lies, which the CNN transcript proves. I did not call Blitzer a tool of a, quote, Jewish conspiracy. In fact, when Blitzer uses the term Jewish conspiracy, I specifically refute the word conspiracy and state that they are simply tools of the Jewish media and political power. Notice how my actual statement is a lot more rational and convincing than the made-up, quote, tools of the Jewish conspiracy lie. Rabbi Bernstein and his extremist Jewish brethren in media correctly understand that if my words are accurately quoted, people will see the reason, intelligence, and decency in them. So they lie and distort my words. They lie, lie, and lie again. Such policy backfires on them somewhat, especially in the internet age. For when the curious actually can come to my website, davidduke.com, they see words and arguments that are completely different from how the mainstream Jewish-influenced media portrays me. They hear a man who is not hateful, a man opposed to war, opposed to hatred, opposed to oppression of any kind. They also see a man who's unalterably opposed to the lack and suppression of freedom of speech and conscience. Finally, they learn of the real supremacism, of the ethnic and religious extremism of the Jewish radical supremacists, radical opinions and processes that have been carefully hidden by the mainstream media from the public. Since extremist Jews are using the Purim celebrations to fuel a proposed murderous attack on Iran, it is vital that non-Jews acquire a fundamental understanding of the unconscionable hatred engendered by this primitive Jewish celebration of atavistic hatred, murder, and revenge against their enemies. It's a feast called Purim. So, what is Purim? According to the Jewish religion, Purim means Feast of Lots, which comes from the Jewish contention that Haman, who was the prime minister to the king of Persia, Xerxes, the Jews call him Ahasuerus, planned to kill all the Jews in the empire. Xerxes' wife was the Jewish Esther, and she, with the Jewish leader Mordecai, interceded with the king to have Haman executed and allow the Jews to exact revenge upon those they saw as their enemies. There is no archaeological or historical evidence for any of this other than the bloodthirsty writings in Esther, and its admittedly Jewish version of the events. It's no wonder that many Christian ministers have wanted to remove Esther from what's called the Old Testament. It's a book that hardly even mentions the word of God or the will of God, and basically is a book of revenge and blood. The book of Esther records that Haman, along with all of his 10 sons, were hanged, and that 75,000 Persians were slaughtered by the marauding Jews. Interestingly enough, the Jews used Jewish influence, that of Esther, over a Gentile king to do their dirty work. In one instance, the book of Esther even frankly tells how the king was fooled into believing wrongly that Haman had cut down his beloved grove of trees. Esther explains that Haman did not do this, but the angels did it and appeared to the keepers of the trees as Haman. Perhaps the angels were similar to Richard Pearl and Paul Wolfowitz, and the head of the CIA intelligence on Iraq, Stuart Cohen, who told lies to President Bush and America about Saddam's weapons of mass destruction and how he was a threat to America. Of course, we don't hear Haman's side of things, and we don't hear the true translation of Ahmadinejad's supposed wipe Israel off the map statement. It makes no difference that Iran's president didn't even use the word map or even the word Israel in the offending statement. In fact, President Ahmadinejad called for no genocide, no wiping Israel off the map, but simply said he thought the world would see the passing of the Zionist regime specifically similar to what occurred in the fall of the communist regime in Russia. Still, the lie that he said he would wipe Israel off the map is being read or heard millions of times from newspaper articles or from televisions every day, all over the world. Over the centuries, this Jewish celebration of the murderous punishment of Haman and the supposed anti-Semites at Purim has become like a Mardi Gras celebration. But it's one with a shocking orgy of hate and hateful symbols. It even includes foods symbolic of revenge and of gore. In the synagogues, Jewish children beat branches recreating the beating of Haman. They have skits where they symbolically hang children made up to look like him. They also scream and shout and curse his name in the synagogues during their reading of what they call the Megillah, the Jewish account of their massacres of Haman and the Persians. Now here is a quote from the most respected newspaper in Israel, the Jerusalem Post, in an article called How to Purim by Robin Treistman. Quote, "The reading of Megillah can last anywhere from 20 minutes to an hour and a half. What factor causes the variance? Simply the reaction of the name Haman. If the crowd goes wild every time the name Haman is read, which happens in most services, the reading can be drawn out. The point of this custom is to, quote, beat or take revenge on Haman. We boo, hiss, beat, and curse Haman," unquote. Even more disgusting than this display of hatred in a house of worship are the foods especially prepared for Purim. The two most famous are hamantaschen, or Haman's ears, and kreplach. Hamantaschen are triangular-shaped dough pockets meant to symbolize Haman's ears, and kreplach are dough pockets filled with ground beef symbolizing the beaten flesh of Haman. Does this sound appetizing to you? I'm not making this up. Here's a quote directly from the Bar Ilan University near Tel Aviv, one of the most respected universities in Israel, from their pamphlet created by the faculty called The Laws and Customs of Purim. And by the way, you can check any of this out on the internet. There's plenty on this issue. This is from the pamphlet, quote, "One, hamantaschen, Aznai Haman, Haman's ears. In the Ashkenazi communities, these triangular baked pockets filled with poppy seed or other sweet things are ever present. The custom originates in Eastern Europe, Ashkenaz, Germany, and Italy. They have become the most well-known and widespread Purim delicacy of all communities the world over. And two, kreplach, chopped meat covered with dough, often triangular in shape. The name has received a popular etymology. Kreplach are eaten only on days in which there's both hitting and eating. Yom Kippur Eve, the custom of Kapparat, Hashanah Rabbah, the beating of the willow branches, Purim, the symbolical beating of Haman." It goes on, "Wherein does the difference lie? It appears that the source of the difference is the nature of the threat on the two different occasions of history. Haman aspired to kill and eliminate the entire Jewish people, physical destruction. Antiochus Hanukkah, on the other hand, desired the cultural assimilation of the people of Israel." Notice how Jews view cultural assimilation of Jews with Gentiles, interaction, intermarriage, intermixing, as similar to physical destruction. Notice that. This is one of the things you're not supposed to notice these days. If Europeans or any other people on earth want to preserve their heritage, their genetics, their essence of their culture, they're called racists, they're called ethnocentrists. But if Jews incorporate this kind of ethnocentrism within their religion, you find no criticism. In fact, you find their ceremonies of Hanukkah celebrated in the White House. Now, what is the lesson of Purim to the Jewish religion and to Jews everywhere, including powerful extremist Jews such as Pearl and Wolfowitz and the other neocons who control the Bush administration? The rabbi of the oldest synagogue in Washington, D.C., Rabbi Shmuel Hertzfeld, explains it to his fellow Jews on the Internet in his article, Bringing the Light to the Nations, Purim 5764. Rabbi Hertzfeld is no lightweight Jew. His synagogue is important enough to be referred to as the National Synagogue of the United States, and Hertzfeld is National Vice President of a major Jewish organization, Coalition of Jewish Concerns. It's called AMCHA. Rabbi Hertzfeld tells that most Jewish commentators understand the lesson as a need to commit genocide on those seen as enemies of Jews, not just transgressors themselves, but on their descendants as well. Here's an excerpt. Quote, most commentators understand the Purim story as correcting King Saul's failure to wipe out Amalek. The first king of Israel was Saul, the son of Kish. He was appointed king by the prophet Shmuel. Shmuel commands him to wipe out Amalek, kill all the people as well as all the animals. Shmuel defeats Amalek, yet he shows mercy upon the king of Amalek, Agag, and allows him to live. In addition, he takes the best of the animals as booty. When Shmuel hears of this, he tells Saul, Kara Hashem, Amalek, Israel, me, Aleka, God has torn away the kingship of Israel from you. Thus, Saul loses the kingdom on account of the fact that he did not kill Agag, and the Jews took the booty of Amalek. Mordecai is a descendant of Saul. He is Mordecai ben Yair, ben Kish, from the tribe of Benjamin. Mordecai does battle with Haman, the Agagite, a descendant of King Agag. Mordecai defeats Haman and kills not only him, but also his 10 sons. Mordecai shows no mercy upon Agag's descendant, Haman. As most commentators explain, Mordecai fixes the damage done by Saul's sin. Where Saul could not kill Agag, Mordecai kills Haman. Where Saul took the booty of Amalek, Mordecai does not allow the Jews to take the booty of Haman. Unquote. My friends, the lesson is clear. When it comes to Gentile enemies, you must show no mercy. Completely wipe them out. Kill all the people as well as all the animals. Mordecai, the hero of Purim, doesn't make that mistake. He sees the lesson as very clear. Jews today shouldn't make that mistake either. The mainstream Jews is represented by the National Synagogue, take this message to heart. Unfortunately, many other Jews have done so as well. One Jew who did so was Rabbi Baruch Goldstein, who on Purim in 1994 went to the religious shrine of the Patriarchs, and while they knelt in prayer, Goldstein used a machine gun to kill 30 and wound 150 Palestinians. Fortunately, there were a few courageous Jewish rabbis, a small minority, who recognized the hate and extremism promoted by Purim. Rabbi Arthur Waskow speaks out about it in his article, The Renewal of Purim and the Fast of Esther. And here's a quote. The hilarity of Purim will be shadowed by the horror of the Purim of 1994. The mass murder of 30 Muslims prostrate in prayer carried out by a religiously committed Jew who said he was acting in the name of God. And he goes on, the date of the Hebron massacre was no accident of timing. Purim itself played a role in creating that horror. Unquote. Another Jewish voice, Rabbi J. Jacobs, also reveals the hateful nature of Purim and the association of non-Jews, such as Palestinians, with Amalek. Quote, in recent years, some have likened the Palestinians to Amalek and as such have justified any violence against this people. It is no coincidence that Baruch Goldstein, a fanatical Jewish settler in the West Bank, chose Purim Day to carry out his 1994 massacre of Palestinian worshippers in Hebron. When equated by those of a certain political viewpoint to the contemporary Jewish experience, the Purim story becomes an incitement to violence and not simply a satire about a distant time and place. The seriousness with which some have understood the Megillah's apparent sanction of mass murder demands that those of us bothered by the ending of the story offer an equally serious ethical response." Unquote. However, the ethical response waited for by Rabbi Jacobs has not come, and Jewish groups around the world are ramping up the hate engendered at Purim toward a man that the Jewish extremists consider the very latest in a long line of Hamans. Jewish extremists in Israel on Friday, February 26, 2007, have organized 10,000 Jewish children to pray for the death of President Ahmadinejad of Iran. Let me quote from the article. This is from Jerusalem Post, February 26th, entitled, "Kids' Prayers Aimed Against Ahmadinejad, Hoping for a Modern-Day Recurrence of Purim's Miraculous Story of Redemption from a Persian Ruler." A Jerusalem-based Kabbalist hopes to battle Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad and his nuclear threat with children's prayers. On Sunday at the Sukkot David Elementary School, Rabbi David Batsri, head of the Shalom Yeshiva, launched a nationwide campaign to enlist 10,000 young children in a prayer rally against Ahmadinejad before Purim. Now, the caption on the photo accompanying the article reads, and I quote, "Ultra-Orthodox boys attend a special prayer calling for the death of Iran's President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad at a religious school in Jerusalem," unquote. Understanding the genocidal and hateful source of the Purim story is essential to understanding the radical Jewish extremism that permeates far too much of the mainstream Jewish community. In the Purim story, a supposed conspiracy to kill Jews en masse is used as a justification for Jews to commit a genocide of their own that they boisterously celebrate every year for 2,500 years. They use the lesson of Purim as a lesson not of love and redemption, but as a celebration of hatred and the need to be completely merciless with their enemies. And now, Zionist extremists, with extensive power in media and government around the world, are planning a new genocide. This time, it is against Iran. Similarly to their campaign of lies and influence with King Xerxes, they lie to our leaders and public and tell us that Iran has genocidal intentions, not just against Israel, but against the world. They even tell us that Iran is a threat to America. They combine the repeated lie that Iran's president called for the, quote, wiping Israel off the map, with disputing, and not with, by the way, a single concrete fact, Iran's peaceful pursuit of nuclear energy, a pursuit that has allowed UN International Atomic Energy Agency inspections. As always, the double standard with the chosen is striking. Israel has never allowed inspections of the chemical, biological, and nuclear weapons facilities in its nation. In another article in the Jerusalem Post on giving internet lessons for young Jews, it says, quote, "And recognizing the sly Haman who wants to destroy us is important because there seems to be a Haman in every generation. And so on Purim, we celebrate our escape from a long line of Hamans that stretches down through history and throughout and around the world. Unquote. To these hateful Jewish extremists, the new Haman is Ahmadinejad. If they are successful in creating hatred and war against them, in murderously attacking Iran and us in the process, they will unleash war, terrorism, economic depression, and untold suffering for millions of people all over the world. The final paragraph of the Jerusalem Post article is itself a lesson in the depth of the self-deception about Purim that Jews have among themselves, and the deception about Purim to us, the Gentiles of the world. And I quote, "This Purim custom is a way of letting our fellows know that we are celebrating the survival and continuity of the Jewish people and a way of expressing our love for our neighbors." And what better treat to deliver on this occasion than a plate of Haman's ears? Unquote. Yes, my friends, how could I have been so anti-Semitic not to think that eating a plate of Haman's ears is a wonderful expression of love for your neighbor? Now that Saddam has been hanged, similar to Haman, and now that Iraq has 500,000 dead and well over a million injured and harmed from this Jewish-manipulated war, will we find Jews consuming with glee Saddam's ears in the synagogues of the world? Many of the Jewish extremists are now insanely lobbying for the nuclear option against Iran. If these Jewish supremacists have their way and are able to manipulate a catastrophic war with Iran, will they invent new foods next year, perhaps microwaved meat, symbolizing the radiated flesh of Ahmadinejad and the hundreds of thousands of nuclear-radiated Iranians? What better way for Zionists to express their love of their neighbors than a nice plate of Haman's ears? This year, at the time of Purim, the world needs to know and understand the Jewish extremist hatred that leads us to a horrific war against Iran. We hear constantly about the threat of Muslim extremism. When will we hear about the far greater threat of Jewish extremism? Jewish extremists are ensconced in the highest positions of power in government and media, powerful positions of influence. And now they lead us and the world to Armageddon in Iran. Unless we prevent this act of Jewish hatred and murder, not only will the Iranians terribly suffer, but so will Americans and indeed people all over the world. This has been David Duke. I look forward to being with you again tomorrow. Remember, the new edition of my book, Jewish Supremacism, will be out in 2 or 3 weeks. We must raise the money for producing and printing this book. It takes a huge outlay of capital to do so. And we send this book to many people around the world who need to hear the message and the information and documentation in this book. Thanks so much for your help, your consideration, and support. I look forward to be with you again tomorrow. This is David Duke, broadcasting to the world on Web Radio.